Beis Adaf Lamed Tes. We're on Lamed Chesam and Beis. We're picking it up right where we left off. Ule Ta'amech. Halfway down the Amud, Gemara is in the middle of a discussion. Rabbi Abba comes in from Bava, making Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, and he's trying to answer a really difficult question. The Mishnah taught us that when you have a dough that is a composite of flour owned by one person with its tchum, and the water and salt and spices owned by another person, but lent to this woman in order to make the dough. So this dough now is a composite of two different tchumim. So the Mishnah taught us that under those circumstances, the dough now is going to be bound by both tchumim. And therefore, you can only take the dough to the shared area, to the common area of the two tchumim. So with that in mind, the Gemara had a really simple question, and that is, what do we say about bittul? The fact of the matter is that the water and salt and spices are significantly smaller amounts than the actual dough itself, the flour itself. And so therefore, what we should be able to say is bittul. And since we're able to say bittul, so therefore there should only be one tchum that is in force, and that is the tchum of the majority, of the flour owner. And we should just simply ignore the tchum of the minority shareholder of this dough. Good, that's the Gemara's question, and it is a really difficult question. Rabbi Abba comes in from Bavel, his first time in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, presenting to the Amoraim of Eretz Yisrael. He really hopes that his opinion be heard and accepted. He may actually made a tefillah even before he stated his opinion. He tried to argue that this is no different than, let's say, my kav of a week gets him mixed in with your 10 kav of wheat. Now there's a total of 11. And you just simply go ahead and eat it, making the claim that there's bittul, right? I should just get over the fact that I lost my kav of wheat. It was misbatul amongst the 10. So Rabbi Abba says this is really no different than that case over there. To which his opinion was met with a lot of ridicule. They actually laughed at his suggestion, and he made another comment. They laughed again. Anyway, it didn't go well, to say the very least. In the meantime, however, the Gemara now is trying to argue whether or not Rabbi Abba actually has a valid argument to make. The Gemara says, is this any different than the halacha of Rav? Rav says that when you're borrowed soros migrono shel chavero, you buy some wheat from somebody and turns out that there's stones inside of it, and you're going ahead and now you are picking out all the stones, and it actually makes up a good amount of the, a good amount altogether. Certainly not a majority, but whatever, a significant amount. So the halach is that you can demand a reimbursement for any volume, any weight that's not considered, that's not the flour. So you see over here that we don't say bittul when it comes to mamnos. So Abaye says, okay, that may be true, but that shouldn't impact our discussion over here. Our discussion over here, there's no monetary litigation over here. One woman gladly lent her salt and water to another woman. So over here, we don't have any kind of monetary dispute. What Abaye described as mamnos shein lo tovim. So the cases are really not comparable, and so the conversation continues. Ula tamech. So this is where we left off, and we're going to pick it up right where we left off. So the Gemara goes over a halach over here. Truth of the matter is, this is a complicated version of bittul. We're basically learning bittul together. But in order to appreciate and understand this comment that's made by Rav Chisda, so first of all, as Rashi points out over here, he's subscribing to the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda makes a distinction between min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino. By min b'mino, there is no bittul. By min b'sheino mino, there is bittul. So that's point number one, just to get through the simple reading of Rav Chisda. And point number two is that we're talking about tumah tahara, meaning nevela is an avatumah. Shchuta is not tame. And now you touch a mixture of nevela and shchuta, are you going to become tame? Well, if it's one piece of nevela getting mixed in with multiple pieces of shchuta, so now we're going to say that there's bittul, and even though there is a small piece in there that's nevela, that's an avatuma, but because it is mixed in with a whole bunch of shchuta, which is not tummy, so therefore the whole composite mixture is in fact tahor. On the other hand, if let's say we were to reverse and we had a shchuta piece that get mixed in with a bunch of nevela pieces, so under those circumstances, so then we're not going to say a bittul, and we're going to say that the shchuta piece there is not nisbatel, it's not nullified, and now it gets a little bit complicated over here, so if it's not nullified, so what do I have? I have now a mixture of tuma and tahara, so that now really turns into a case of suffix, meaning if I touch the whole mixture, if I touch part of the mixture, so then it's a case of suffix, And then it gets a little bit more complicated. And what I'll do right at this point in time is I'll let go in terms of explaining it any more. Just right now, we need to know the basic idea that when I have nevela getting mixed up with shchuta, that's going to be there will be beto. But when I have shchuta getting mixed up with nevela, so then there will not be beto. And the reason why that is because one is a case of min b'mino, and the other case is min b'sheino mino. Now that requires explanation of itself. Why should that be? So as Rashi points out over here, and the Gemara really says it. I mean, even before Rashi, the Gemara kind of explains it. But the reason why is because the nevela is going to become nisbatel b'shchuta, because nevela can in fact become tahor, meaning even though currently the nevela is an avatoma, but when it becomes putrid, when it no longer becomes edible, so the tumah goes away. So nevela can become tahor. So therefore, since nevela can become tahor, so nevela and shchuta getting mixed together vis-a-vis tumah tahara is min b'mina. Now I know that's a lot to process, a lot to digest, pun intended. That's a lot to process, but nevertheless, that's a halacha. On the other hand, conversely, if the shchuta gets mixed in with nevela, so the shchuta can never become nevela. In other words, a tahor piece of meat can never become an avatuma. So that's considered now a case of min v'sheino mina. Okay. Point is that for Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, if we could just simplify this entire discussion, the Mishnah over here, it's not a Mishnah, the memory of Rechista over here, admittedly is a complicated scenario, but basically what we're learning over here is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it's min b'mino, there's no bittol, and if it's min b'sheino mino, there is bittol. Now the Gemara says, now that we have that, so you want to tell me now that we're learning together a new factor, and that is ownership. And that means to say that if I have, let's say, one person owning one piece of meat and another person owning another piece of meat, so you want to tell me that under those circumstances, so now that I take the variable of ownership and I put that inside, so shouldn't that also now play a factor, now play a role, and shouldn't that prevent bittul? Because that's effectively what Rabbi Abba is trying to tell me, that when I have items that are owned by different people getting mixed together, and even though I have a majority and I have a minority, we don't say bittul under those circumstances. So over here, the Gemara says, you want to tell me that there's no bittul, and v'chite ma'achinami, now maybe the Gemara says, maybe you want to tell me that that's right. Maybe there really is no bittul under these circumstances. The Gemara says that's hard to imagine. V'atanya amar Rav Yochanan Nuri chefse hefker konin shvisa. So we know the sheet of Rav Yochanan Nuri. We've gone over it numerous times. The Gemara in Erevin cited a number of times in here as we're discussing Tchumim. So we're mentioning the Shita of Yochanan Nuri notably, that if I have Chefse Hefker, some item that is not owned by anybody, and it goes into Shabbos or it goes into Yantiv, so whose Tchum does it subscribe to? So you could make the argument the answer is nobody. In other words, it doesn't have an owner, and therefore it doesn't have a Tchum. According to Rav Yochanan Nuri, chefse hefker konim shvisa, it acquires its own tchum. Afa pishen lambalim, domen kemishesh lambalim. So even though it does not have an owner, nevertheless, the halacha treats it as if it does have an owner. So over here, what do you see? You see that according to Rav Yochanan Nuri, we're learning together that as far as items are concerned, on Shabbos and Yontiv, as it relates to tchum, even things that don't have an owner, so the halacha views them as if they in fact have an owner. And so therefore, when it comes to the mixture of different items, vis-a-vis, one item is subscribing to one tchum, and another item is subscribing to another tchum, so you can't ignore the ownership variable. The ownership variable has to be taken into account. So, Amrle Mika Medamis Yisur LaMamona, Yisur Abatel Mamona LaBatel. So the Gemara says, okay, so when all said and done, so the Gemara says, look, when all said and done, Rabbi Abba is making a point. It just happens to be that it's not relevant to our discussion. Rabbi Abba's point is that by mammon there's no bittul, and to which the Gemara's response is, yeah, I'm going to give you that by mammon there really is no bittul, and all the examples that the Gemara cited on this daf on Lamed Ches Amud Beis are all correct, are all factual, they're all true. When I have money of one person, money of another person, in whatever different scenario that just came up in the course of the Gemara, when they get mixed together, so we're not going to say bittul. So just because one is greater than the other, so under those circumstances, we don't say bittul, and that's a reality. When do we say bittul? We say bittul as it relates to Isser V'Heter. So effectively, what the Gemara is saying is that Rabbi Abba's point is good. It's just simply not relevant to our discussion over here. We're talking about the Isser of Tchum. We're not talking about the Mamonis issue. As far as the Mamonis issue is concerned, there's no Bittul, but we're not talking about the Mamonis issue. We're talking about the Isser of Tchum. So once again, now let's reset. If we're talking about the Isser of Tchum, so why don't we say Bittul in our circumstance over here? So basically, after all said and done, the Gemara is back now to our very original question. And now, after an entire Amud of trying to give an answer of Rabbi Abba, the Gemara now is back to trying to give an answer. Why don't we say Bittul? When I have flour, which is a majority, mixed in with water and salt and spices, which is a minority, so why don't we say Bittul? And if, in fact, we were to say Bittul, so then what we could do is we can ignore totally the Tchum of the minority owner of this mixture. The Gemara now, at this point in time, is going to be giving three different answers in terms of why I'm going to say Bittul. Number one. So, at the time am I, so why don't we say Bittul? So, Abai, Amar, Gzera, Shema, Tase, Isa, B'Shutfus. So, Abai says, Gzera, D'Rabanan. What's going to happen over here is that if we get comfortable with this idea, that in this scenario over here, where there really is Bittul, if we were, in fact, to get comfortable with that idea, so then what's going to happen is that in a similar scenario where instead of where it was one person lending to another person, so it's a case of partnership. So, it's different, obviously, but it's very similar to each other. So in the case of lending, if we were to get to the comfortable with the idea that we only have to regard one person's tchum, so in the case of partnership, which is really similar, so we would arrive at the same but erroneous conclusion that that there's only one tchum that you need to take into account. So, as a gzera de Rabbanan, so the Chacham goes there, one case out to another case. That is answer number one. Rava Amar, Tavlin Latame Avida Vitame Lobato. Rava says that as far as Tavlin are concerned, so as far as spices are concerned, so the whole reason why we're inserting, we're adding spices to a dish is so that we could taste it. And therefore, it is not going to be subject to Bittul, meaning Bittul means that we're basically negating it because we no longer can really sense it. It's a minority. Over here, when it comes to something that's made for its taste, so we can't say Bittul. Is Rava and Abaya arguing with one another? So Rashi says no. You can see the bottom Rashi over here. Rava Amar Velo Palegada Abaya Lamar Shani Chada Mar Shani Chada. So the way Rashi understands it, that the two answers are not there to negate each other. It's just each one of them offering a different suggestion, and they both would be happy with the other suggestion. Rashi is not unanimous on this position. You can see Tosfos over here on the bottom of the Amud. Anyway, see Tosfos over here. We're not going to go through it. That does not agree with Rashi's assessment. Anyway. So far we have two answers in terms of why we do not say Bittul, either Gzera D'Rabbanan or because Tavlin is something which is there for taste. Continuing now in the Gemara on the very top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Rav Ashi Amar, Mishum Davilei Davi Sheish L'Matirin, V'chol Davi Sheish L'Matirin, Afilu Be'elof Lo Bittul. So the answer of Rav Ashi, which takes us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, and Av Gimel. So this falls under the category of a Davi Sheish L'Matirin. We know that Tchum is only usher temporarily. It's only going to be also for the duration of either Shabbos or Yontiv. After Shabbos and Yontiv is over, so there's no longer a consideration of Tchum. And when it comes to temporary Yisurim, this is what's called Avishay Shal Matirin. The way Rashi explained it back on Daf Gimel, Achi Ochlenu Beheter Tochlenu, Achi Ochlenu Beisur Tochlenu Beheter. So we just simply have to wait. In other words, rather than relying on the concept of Bittul, so let's just wait until everything becomes Mutter, and so therefore we don't even have to rely on Bittul. So over here, so it's true that Bittul could occur, but because it's a Davi Sheish L'Matirin, so therefore we're going to be Mekel by Davi Sheish L'Matirin. And the Chiddush over here is that over here the Issa under discussion is an Issa D'Rabbanan. And if you remember going all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta, so we're even going to be Machmer by an Issa D'Rabbanan. So Rav Ashi, the same Rav Ashi over here, will say, yeah. In other words, Davi Sheish L'Matirin is such a powerful idea that even though the Issa is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, we're still going to say, let's wait until after Yontiv is over. Asha Tochlan Be'isur, Tochlan Be'heter. Good. So that is the third and final answer in terms of why we don't say Bittul over here. Rabbi Yehuda, Poter, B'mayim. We are on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Continuing now, the Gemara is going to turn its attention to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda back in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda basically says that water is so insignificant. I mean, obviously, everything is relative and water is really important. But vis-a-vis this particular mixture, so water is so insignificant that Rabbi Yehuda is of the position that water could be totally negated. And so therefore, the water that gets mixed in, even though the owner of the water may be a different tchum holder, so you can ignore the water altogether. The Gemara notes, Maimin Melech Lo, where Rabbi Yehuda only limits his insignificance to water and not to salt. That's a simple diak in the Mishnah. V'atayin, the Gemara says, the problem is the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Maim HaMelech Betelem Bein Be'isa Bein B'Kedera. So Rabbi Yehuda says that water and salt are both insignificant. And so it's a bit of a problem, and the Braisa is going against the Diuk in our Mishnah. Lokasha, HaBemelech Sodom is HaBemelech Istroknis. So the Gemara says, well, we can make a distinction between the Diuk in the Mishnah and the Braisa in terms of different types of salt. If you're talking about Melech Sodomis, so the way Rashi describes it, Melech Sodomis is a really fine salt. Salt that's almost imperceptible to the eye. So under those circumstances, Rav Yehuda would say that vis-a-vis Bittel, it could be totally negated. You can ignore it in total. You can't even see it. Masha Inkin, when it comes to the second type of salt, you know, the salt that I struggled to pronounce. So that kind of salt is much thicker, and it's something that you can't ignore. It's something that's there. Rashi says, how do I know the Melech Sodomis is the fine salt that's almost imperceptible? So Rashi says, I know that because of a Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kofei Amid Beis, Rashi quotes, Mimnei Ma Amru, I'm reading the Rashi, third line down. Mimnei Ma Amru Mayim Acharonim Chova, so the Mayim Acharonim is an obligation. Mimnei She Melech Sodomis Yesh She Misamei Es Ha'inayim. So we know that there is some residual Melech Sodomis that's on your hand at the conclusion of a meal. And what's going to happen now is that very corrosive salt that's on your hand that is not perceptible. So you're going to touch your eyes afterwards, and Rachmanis, and you're going to blind yourself. So as a result, consequently, you want to do after the end of the meal is you want to wash your hands in order to get rid of the Melech Sodomis. So Rashi says, Haraya, that the Melech Sodomis is a really fine, powdery, imperceptible stuff. And so it's interesting, meaning vis-a-vis the end of the meal, it's going to force us to wash our hands. But vis-a-vis Bittel, because it's not perceptible. So therefore, vis-a-vis Tchum and Bittel and Isser, so we can ignore it altogether. Good. That's what the Gemara just suggested. A distinction between basically fine salt and coarse salt. V'ha-tanya, the Gemara says, okay, but there's another Braisa that we need to take into consideration, and that's Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Maim HaMelech Betelem Be'isa. Vein Betelem Be'keder Mimnei Rotva. That when it comes to salt and water, so when it's mixed into a dough, because the resulting dough, you can't really make out neither the water nor the salt, so it becomes totally negated and you don't have to take it into account at all. However, when it comes to a kadera, some sort of cooked dish, so the water and salt are still visible and you have to take it into account. So the Gemara says over here, that's a little bit difficult because, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says he's poter b'mayim. And the Mishnah doesn't qualify. The Mishnah would seem to be talking about both a dough and even a cooked dish. And so now once again, the Deacon in the Mishnah is going against the Braisa. So lo kasha haba ava ha biraka. So the Gemara says, okay, but depends on what kind of dish we're talking about. If we're talking about a really thick dish where at the end you really can't make out the water pretty much gets absorbed totally into it. So under those circumstances, so then it's batel. And Rav Yehuda says that you can ignore altogether. Masha Enkein, if it's a liquidy dish, even after it's cooked, you can make out the liquid, you can make out the water. So under those circumstances, so then the water does not become batel, and that's what the Braisa was describing. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of our first discussion on the Daf. Continuing, Lama Tesamad Aleph. We're going to be talking about fire and comparing and contrasting fire that is solid-based and fire that is gas-based. When I say fire that's gas-based, what I mean is a flame. And so we're going to make some basic distinctions regarding a flame that is predicated as it is just simply part of a coal, right? A solid-based flame, or as opposed to a gas-based flame, meaning a flame that just simply kind of just shoots out there. And the Mishnah is going to point out that there are three basic distinctions to be made between the two types of flames. Actually, when we get to the Braisa, we're going to learn that there are a total of five different distinctions that one can make. Let's start with the Mishnah. Gacheles keragle habalim. So when I have coals, and the coals are owned by somebody going into Shabbos or going into Yontiv, so the tchum that those coals are going to subscribe to, are they going to be that of the owner? Meaning that this is a concrete item, and therefore the owner is going to affect its tchum. However, shall have this, but if we're talking about just a flame, so b'chol makom, because a flame is basically just a flame, meaning it's not a concrete item. It does not have mamashos. So as a result of that, regardless of who the owner of the flame is, it's not going to be subject to tchum. A second distinction. Gachel shal hektish, if we're talking about coals owned by hektish ma'olam ba, it's subject to me'ila if I were to get hana'a from it. So then you'd be subject to all the ramifications of me'ila, which means that you have to bring a carbon, you have to make restitution, you have to add a chomesh. However, shall have it, but if, let's say, hektesh is producing just a flame, so lo nenin, so lichatchil, you're not allowed to get hana. However, lo mawalim, but there's no din of me'ila as it relates to just the flame of hektesh. Once again, it's not a concrete item, and so therefore it's not going to be subject to the formal iser of me'ila. Note over here, and let's just put a quick bookmark over here on the point that lichatchil, you're still not allowed to get hana from it, from the flame, but there's no din of me'ila. And then finally, the third distinction, amotzi gachelos rishus rabim chayv, shall have his pater. And then in terms of hotzah on Shabbos, if I take a kol and transfer from a rishus yachid to rishus rabim, that's a violation of Shabbos. On the other hand, when it comes to a flame, so because it's not a concrete item, it does not have mamashas, so then transferring it from one rishus to another is not going to be a violation of Shabbos. Tanu rabbanan. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. Chamisha dvarim nemru begecheles. So the Braisa over here, now it's going to give us five distinctions between a solid-based fire, otherwise known as coal, and a gas-based fire, otherwise known as a flame. The ones that we already did in the Mishnah, I'm just going to read, and the ones that are new, the two new ones, so I'll translate. So, Chamisha dvarim nemru begecheles, hagecheles karag lebalm v'shal heves b'chol makom. Okay, we already saw that in the Mishnah, that's as it relates to tchum. Gecheles shal hektish ma'alim ba v'shal heves lo nenim v'lo ma'alim. And the second distinction, which we already saw in the Mishnah, that's regarding Mi'ila. Gachel shal avodah zarah asura, shal heves muteres. If I have a call of avodah zarah, so the Pasuk says, lo yidbak biyadcham u'ma min ha'cherem. Pasuk in Parshas Rei says that you're not allowed to get any benefit whatsoever from avodah zarah. And so therefore the coal, which is a concrete item, so you're not allowed to get benefit from it. However, when it comes to the shal heves, the flame, so then there's no issur because again, it's not something that has mamashos. A fourth distinction of the Braisa, Motzika Chalos Rishus Rabim Chayv shall have his pater. So this is what we learned back in the Mishnah. This was number three in the Mishnah, and that's transferring from one Rishus to another with a distinction between the coal and the flame. Finally, a fifth distinction, Amudar Hana Chavero. So somebody makes a neder that he's not going to get any benefit from his friend, and he does so via neder. So then Asubaga Chalos Umutu B'shal Havta. So to get benefit from his friend's coal, so that will be prohibited because of his neder. Binds him now to not get any benefit from any item of his friends, but it has to be something which is tangible and concrete. Masha Enkin, when it comes to the flame, it's not concrete, it's not tangible, and so therefore you would be allowed to get hana from your friend's flame. Maishna shall have his avodah zarah d'shayu maishna dehekdesh asiri. The Gemara starts off with just a quick note of compare and contrasting of the five items. So we said that one of them was hektish and the other one was avodah zarah. And you'll notice, as the Gemara, that there's this really subtle distinction between hektish and avodah zarah. So by both of them, there's a difference between coal versus flame. However, when it comes to the hektish, the flame of hektish, lichatchila, you're not allowed to get benefit from it, but b'di'evet, there's no me'ila. When it comes to the flame of avodah zarah, there's not even a concern of lichatchila. Meaning there just simply is no problem whatsoever. And there's no and there's no lechatchila put in but when it comes to the flame of avodah zarah. So the Gemara explains, avodah zarah dim me'isa. So when it comes to avodah zarah, it's something which is already repugnant. People don't like avodah zarah. Ubedili and shemine, people separate from avodah zarah. So therefore, logazru be'rabbanan, the chachamim did not feel a need to make gzera. However, hektish lo ma'is, but when it comes to hektish, which is not disgusting, v'lo bedili and shemine, and people are not naturally withdrawn from hektish. So gazru bei rabbanan, so the chachamim felt that's an area where they should make gzera. In fact, not only should they make gzera, they did make gzera. Good. The difference between hektish and avodah zarah. Hamotzi gachalos rishus rabim chayv shal heves pater v'hatanya motzi shal heves kol shehu chayav. So over here, the comparison between the Mishnah and the Braisa that we just learned together. The Braisa tells us that when I take shal heves out from one rishus to another, you're going to be chayav, and that is clearly against our Mishnah. Not only against our Mishnah, but against the Braisa as well. The Mishnah and the Braisa both say that carrying a shal heves from one rishus to another is not a violation of Shabbos at all. And over here in the Braisa, says it's an Issa D'Raisa. I'm Rav Sheshes Kigon Shotzi Bekisam. So Rav Sheshes says, it depends. If the flame is not connected to anything, it's not attached to anything, so then the flame is perfectly insignificant, it does not have mamushas whatsoever. The Braisa that we just learned together, so that's talking about a flame, that is connected to an item. The fact that it's connected to an item makes the flame chashuv. Rashi writes over here. Rashi de Ramascha had ni chayv kishotzei bekisim dekim deishlo davar lihidabek bo. Since the flame has something connected to it, it's connected to an item. Chashuvehi becholshehu. So now the flame becomes a davar chashuv. Okay, so somehow the item gives chashivas to the flame. So basically, now what we're learning together is that there's a non-chashuv flame, which is basically a detached flame. In a moment, the Gemara is going to ask the question, how are you moving that flame from one place to another? But anyway, that's one type of flame, and the other type of flame is a chashuv type of flame. So this is the Gemara's, this is the Gemara's distinction. Gemara just has a couple of quick follow-up questions. But the Gemara says, well, if the flame is got a splinter, or well, let's call it a match, so shouldn't it be chayv for carrying the match? The Gemara says, but le'slei shiura. It just doesn't have the requisite shiur, because the Nam we learned in the Mishnah and Shabbos, Amotzi Eitzim Kidei Levashal Beitz Akala. So there's a minimum shear of how much wood you need to carry on Shabbos in order to be chayiv. It's the amount to cook a chicken egg. Okay, so it's less than that shear. Okay, so technical question, technical answer. Abaye Amar Deshaifa Mana Mashcha Va'at Libe Nura. So Abaye gives a different way to resolve the distinction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. But it comes out to be pretty similar to that of Rava. And the idea is over here is that what you did is you took a kli, small kli, and you rubbed oil on it and you lit it. Okay, so in other words, once again, it's a chashuv flame because it's the flame is attached to something. To which the Gemara adds, "V'tepiklei mishamana." Okay, so you're carrying that flame. You're also carrying the kli as well. So it shouldn't be chayv for the transfer of the kli. So bechaspa, the Gemara says it's not that significant. It's earthenware. V'tepiklei mishamchaspa, the Gemara says okay, it's earthenware. So but still, you're carrying it out. So the betalais leshira again. The Gemara says there's no shira over here. Dinan cheres as it relates to cheres kedei litein bein patzim lechavero. So when you're stacking wood one on top of the other, so you do want a little bit of circulation going through the wood. So it was recommended that you put in small pieces of shards between the pieces of wood, so in order to allow circulation so that your wood doesn't get moldy or rot. Anyway, the point is that there's a shear for how much charis you have to take out, and over here, it's less than the shear. Just finishing reading Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Anyway, it comes out now that for Abaye, it's pretty much the same, it's the same approach, it's the same answer, is that it's a chashuv flame because it's attached to an item. So, okay, so now we know what a chashuv flame is. It's a flame that's attached to an item. So now let's compare and contrast that to another type of flame, which is the non-chashuv flame. So how are you transferring the non-chashuv flame from one area to another? Simple question. The Gemara gives an answer. So the Gemara says, kagon de adyei aduyei l'rishus harabim. Okay, so you fanned it into another rishus. In other words, with wind, with some sort of propulsion of wind. So you push the flame from one rishus to another. That's how at least it would be possible. That's the hechitimsa, in which you'd be able to move the flame from one place to another place. And again, because it's not chashuv, because it's not connected to anything, so therefore you would be potter for this kind of transfer. Adkan takes us to the end of the second big discussion of today's daf, and we continue. We are on the bottom of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, and we start with our next Mishnah, Bor Shel Yachid. We're talking over here once more about Tchum. And over here, what you're doing is you're drawing water, and depending on who the owner of the water source is, it's a pit. So depending on who the owner of the water source is, so that will inform us in terms of the Tchum that it's going to follow. And over here in our Mishnah, we're going to have three different categories of ownership. So Bor Shel Yachid, let's start from the beginning of the Mishnah. So when it comes to a pit that's privately owned, and the water in that pit now is owned by a single individual, so Karagle Yachid. So then, as you would expect, the Tchum now is going to follow that individual. Whatever his Tchum is for that Shabbos or that Yontov, that's going to be the water's Tchum. And therefore, assuming that, of course, you have permission to draw from that well, so now you're going to be bound by that Tchum, meaning that water can only be taken within the Tchum of its owner. So category number two in the Mishnah, Shelan Shiosa here, let's say that you drew from a well that was owned by every member of the city. So it's a partnership over here. I'm intentionally not using the word public, and you'll see why in just a moment. So this is a city, and the well over here is considered the municipality of the city. But instead of us calling it public, let's call it partnered. So now, Karaglianchi also here. So because you have every member of the city who is a shareholder of that, so that means to say that basically we're going to look at the city as a collective, and so therefore the tchum of that water is going to be the city, and so therefore the water cannot be taken out beyond the tchum of that city. So anything beyond 2,000 amos of that city is beyond the tchum, so the water cannot be taken beyond that perimeter. That's category number two. Now, Shalole Bavel. Now we're talking about wells that are owned by nobody. So I'd say a public well. It's not even public. In other words, it's just simply a non-owned well. And the Gemara describes it over here as Ole Bavel, meaning typically, classically, what would happen is that as you made Aliyah L'Regel for every Yantiv, so it was a trip and you stopped along the way and there were water wells that were made along the way, prepared along the way, and it was assumed, it was understood that anybody who wanted to can in fact draw from that water. So this is totally public property, and so it's not owned by anybody. But in terms of halacha, we're just going to call it hefker. So sha'ol e'bavel kiragle ha'memale. So that's going to follow the tchum of whoever filled it up. So whoever is responsible for filling it up, that's going to be the tchum of that water. And it seems to be that even if it was filled up on Yantav itself or on Shabbos itself, nevertheless, it's going to follow his tchum. Generally speaking, we say, of course, that tchum is acquired only during the Bein HaShemeshes period. Okay, maybe over here, well, not maybe, we will invoke over here the principle of Breira. In other words, being that he filled it up and being that it was Efker, so we could say, we're going to make the argument that Hover Adavu Mafreya, that this was the water that he planned on using even going into the Shabbos or into the Yantiv. Gemara starts off the discussion with a question. Ram Milei Rav LeRav Nachman. The following question was posed to Rav Nachman. Tanan Bor Shal Yachid Karagle Yachid Reminu. Naros Amoshchin Amayinos Anovim Harein Karagle Kol Adam. So a distinction needs to be made between our Mishnah and the Braisa. So the Mishnah we just learned and the Braisa, well, the Braisa tells us pretty clearly that when you have a flowing wellspring, so they will not acquire a Makom Shvisa, and therefore when the water is collected, the water is going to follow whoever picks up that water. Now this is really predicated on the principle that water in motion does not have an opportunity to be Kone Makom, Kone a Makom Shvisa. So, and basically the Gemara is going to make this very distinction. Our Mishnah is talking about where the water was a collected stagnant body of water. And as a result of that, it is going to be, it's going to be Konetz Makom Shvisa. And however, the water over there, described just moments earlier, I mean, it's kind of built into the name. It's Mayanos, the wellspring. So the water over there is a motion. And a moving body of water does not acquire its makom shvisa. A simple distinction to be made. And this answer and this distinction was given by Shmuel as well. And so, a simple distinction to be made between the two cases. Shel ole bava ragle hamemale. Gemara then quotes the third category of our Mishnah. That is that the people that are they're making aliyah l'regel and they're now collecting from a public well. So that water now is going to follow whoever picks it up. Again, predicated on the principle that the whoever picks it up now acquires it now. And using the principle of Breira, we'll say that this is a water that he planned on picking up even before Shabbos, even before Yontif. And so therefore it's going to follow the Tchum of the Mimale. Itmar, so now the following discussion ensued. And this discussion is going to be taking us for the rest of the daf. So Itmar Mile Venasan Lechavero. So let's say you're the one who actually collected the water from the public well. And then what you did in turn is you gave it to your friend. So now, whose tchum does it follow? Meaning when you drew the water, you originally were planning on drawing it for your friend. So now, does it follow your tchum, the drawer? Or does it follow the tchum of your friend who drew it on behalf of? So all the svaras we're going to explain in just a moment, but let's get first the positions down. Rav Nachman Amar Karagle Mishinis Malulo. So Rav Nachman says that it's going to follow the tchum of the person that it was drawn on behalf of, since that person was the intended recipient of that water. So therefore, the tchum is going to follow that individual. And Rav Sheshet Amar Karagla Mamala, and Rav Sheshet says no. It follows the one who filled it up, even though the intention was to give it to somebody else. Nevertheless, according to Rav Sheshet, we're going to be following the Mimale, the one who filled it, and not that, and not the one who was filled on behalf. So Bemai Kimiflugi. So the Gemara now wants to understand. Good. So now we have a scenario. We have a machlokus, but what we don't have right now is a svara. So what's the svara behind the shita of Rav Nachman? What's the svara behind the shita of Rav Sheshet? So the Gemara is going to start off with a proposal. Mar Savar Bira Devke Rehu, Umar Savar Bira Deshutehu. Okay, so we certainly know that we're talking about having filled up from the Ole Bavel. What the Gemara now is suggesting is how to classify that. So it could very well be that the that Rav Sheshet is of the opinion that the boar is considered hefker. And since it's considered hefker, so now when you fill it up on behalf of somebody else, you cannot fill it up on behalf of somebody else, and why not? So it's predicated on a Gemara and Bamitziah and Daf Yod. So the Gemara and Bamitziah and Daf Yod says that for you to take something from hefker in order to have somebody else, in order to acquire it on behalf of somebody else, so you can't do that. Ein zach la adam. You cannot create a zchus for somebody else when it's chav la'acherim, or to quote the Gemara more precisely inside, tofes abachov b'makom shechav la'acherim. So you're doing a tfisa for a bachov. You are grabbing. Now, literally over here, the Gemara is talking about a creditor, and we're not talking about a creditor over here, but the basic idea is that when you acquire something on behalf of somebody else, giving other people the lost opportunity of taking it for themselves, so that the Gemara in Bava Metzia says you're not allowed to do. Okay, I'm not making a halachic statement. I'm just giving us a great way to think about it. It's kind of like a collection agency. So a collection agency is going after a person who's got multiple debts, and now they're collecting not on their own behalf, but on behalf of the actual debtor. So over there, they're tofes l'bachov b'makom shechav l'acherim. So on one hand, they are collecting owed money, but at the same time, they're not collecting a debt that's owed to them. It's a debt that's owed to somebody else. And makom shechav l'acherim, and it prevents other people from collecting their debts. So the Gemara Bava Metzia says that you're not allowed to do that, and which is why I said that the example of the collection agency on one hand is good. On the other hand, it might be that halachically it gets a lot more complicated. Regardless, the point is that if in fact the Ole Bavo, the boar shall Ole Bavo is considered hefker. So you can certainly collect the water for yourself. That goes without saying. But you cannot collect it for other people because tofes b'machov b'makom shechav l'acherim. So it simply doesn't work based on the Gemara Bava Metzia. On the other hand, Rav Nachman will tell you that the boar is considered a boar shel shutfus. And as a result of that, so basically what I'm doing now is that I'm collecting water for somebody else. Now, being that I'm a shareholder and he's a shareholder, so it's no problem whatsoever for me to just simply collect for another shareholder. Meaning it's not, I'm not taking it from Hefker. All I'm doing is just acting as a shliach of somebody who is a part owner of the boar. And so the Gemara now is suggesting that this, in fact, is the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. Or better stated, this is the svara behind the machlokas of Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet. And what the Gemara now is going to do is significantly push back. Eisvei Rava l'Rav Nachman. So the following challenge to Rav Nachman. Areini alecha cherem. So let's say a person says to his friend, that you are not going to get any benefit from my possessions. All my possessions should be like cherem to you. So the halacha is muda aser. So you created a neder, and so now the person you made a neder against can't get any benefit from you. Or alternatively, if you said hare ata alai cherem, as we are now on the top of the of Amud Bez, Lamed Tes Amud Bez, if you say alternatively that all your possessions, all your possessions are going to be aser to me, so then hanoda aser, so then the noda is going to be aser. Okay, so in other words, the Mishnah and Dharma is just simply describing how it's possible that with a neder, you can make either somebody else's possessions usher to your property, or you can make you yourself usher to other people's property through vayneder. Hareini alecha ve'ata alai. And now the Mishnah just simply goes on to describe how you can go in both directions as well. So shnei masurim zebazeh. So I can't get hana from you. You can't get hana from me. Umutarim bishal ole bavel. However, the Mishnah goes on to describe that we can both drink from ole bavel. because that is not something that is owned in partnership. That is something that is owned by that's hefker. The asurin b'shal oso ha'ir, but the well of the city, which is a partnership, so that means that I own it and you own it, so neither of us can drink from it because that would be a violation of the neder. So Elohein Dvarim Shel Ole Bavel. Now, as far as Ole Bavel is concerned, what falls under that category? So that would be Harabias and Lishkos and Lazaros and Borshel Emsa Haderech and the Elohein Shel Osayir, things that belong to the city, meaning things that fall under the category of partnership, is Rechov, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMercha, the street, the shul, the Shvitz. Now, E Amart Bir Deshutfehu Amai Vehatanan. Hashutfim shenadru hanaz emizah certainly kind of lechatzer. So and the Gemara over here say, notes that look, if the boar of Ole Bavel is in fact considered a shutfa, so we know the halacha. In fact, we just learned in the Mishnah. It's a little bit strange that the Gemara over here is quoting another Mishnah in Nedarim. Okay, and the Rishonim are bothered by that, but anyway, it comes out that once something is owned in partnership, so then the participants of the neder, the bi-directional neder that prohibits me getting benefit from you and you getting benefit from me, so we are not allowed to get something benefit from something that I'm a shareholder of and that you're a shareholder of. So the Gemara is suggesting now the following. Okay, here's what we could say. So lirchot bebor hachinami. So if we're talking about the kind of hana where, let's say, for example, I'm taking a bath in that water. That is a partnership that was owned in partnership. So then I can understand. But hacha b'maya skinim. But over here, what are we talking about? Lim malos. We're talking about drawing water. Mar mididei kamemale. Mar mididei kamemale. So the Gemara says, and when I'm talking about drawing water, so if assuming that we subscribe to the principle of breira, so that means to say now that I'm not violating my neder, you're not violating your neder. Because each one of us are drawing from our water, meaning the water is owned in partnership, but if we subscribe to Breira, so the water that I'm drawing is exclusively mine. And so I'm not getting any benefit from yours whatsoever. So this is a way of still preserving the idea that according to Rav Nachman, the waters of the Ole Bavel are in fact considered a partnership. Which it goes on to explain why it is that when Rav Nachman says that you're drawing the water from the Ole Bavel, so and you're doing so on behalf of somebody else, so it actually belongs to that other person. And right now the Gemara is trying to maintain preserve a pshat. The reason why is because it is categorized as not hefker, but rather should fall into the category of a shutfus, of a partnership. And all this would only work if Rav Nachman in fact holds a breira. Because we also just learned together that in a scenario where you have a bi-directional neder, so under those circumstances, so you can draw from the boar of Ole Bavel. But if that in fact was a partnership, how does that work? So the Gemara's answer is it works because Rav Nachman subscribes to Breira. So right now, in order for this entire pshat to work, it's being held together by just a couple of really tenuous points. So in order for this pshat to work, so what do we need? We need Rav Nachman to hold of the concept of Breira. Does Rav Nachman hold of the concept of Breira? Funny you should ask. So and not only that, the Gemara says, V'savar Rav Nachman yesh Breira v'atanan. So the Gemara says, what about the Mishnah in Shkalim? Ha'achim ha'shutfim. So the Mishnah over there describes that you have brothers who just inherited a Yerusha. And what they're doing now is that the estate has been divided. So it's going to affect two halachas. One, the halacha of Maaser Behema, and two, the halacha of Kalbon. So as far as Kalbon is concerned, so Kalbon is that when you give your machitzes shekel, so there's a fee that comes together with the giving of the machitzes a shekel. And without going too far into the details, you can see Rashi over here gives a lengthier explanation, and we're going to give a much shorter explanation. But the basic idea is that when you are giving the machitzes a shekel, and you have now the estate paying for the brothers, so you only need to give one kalbon. If on the other hand, the brothers are paying their machitzes a shekel, meaning it's not the estate, but it belongs to the brothers, so each one of them has to pay a fee, so that's two kalbons. That's halacha number one. A second halacha is Maaser Behema. Now, by Maaser Behema, the halacha is very simple. if Meister Behema, if the animals are owned by a single entity, so then there's halacha Meister Behema. However, if you have animals owned in a partnership, so then there is no halacha Meister Behema. Okay, it's really that simple. Again, all this could be discussed in much greater detail, but for our purposes right now, we just want to get to one singular point. So, kishe chayim bekavlo peturmi Meister Behema, and kishe chayavim me Meister Behema, so peturmi kalbon. So over here, an inverse relationship between Kalbon and Meiser Behema. And to put it really simply, if there's a partnership, so then yes, if it's, right, if it's a partnership, so then yes to Kalbon, no to Meiser Behema. If it's a single entity, so then no to Kalbon and yes to Meiser Behema. If that made it a little bit clearer. Anyway, the part that we need right now is not the Mishnah, although we do need the Mishnah, but it's a commentary in the Mishnah. The Amar Rav Anan Lo Shanu Ella Shechaku Gedim Keneged Talaim Utalaim Keneged Gedim. We're talking about where the estate was divided, where you have different commodities that were bartered against one another. Goats against sheep and sheep against goats. Avachiku Gedim Keneged Gedim Utalaim Keneged Talaim. So Omer Zeu Chalka Magia Mishar Vishon Lekach. So under those circumstances where, let's say, the sheep were split evenly and the goats were split evenly. So that means to say that, that if in fact, they went ahead and they partnered up again, so this is still considered the estate. So that is the shita of Rav Anan. And the shita of Rav Anan is predicated on the fact that we say brera, meaning, If it's sheep against sheep, and if we're just dividing the sheep equally amongst each other, so that means to say that that is what I originally planned on getting from the estate. And then when we go ahead and we pool our resources back together again, so it's just simply another way of describing the estate. That's all Shitas Rav Anan. But that's not right now what we're interested in. What we're interested in is the Shita Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, Amar, Afilu Chalka Ginin, Geneged Gedim, Utalaim, Geneged Talaim, Einom Rezeh Chalka Megiyah, Mishar, Rishon Lakach. So according to Rav Nachman, so basically, it doesn't matter how the estate is divided, we are always going to say that regardless of how the estate is divided, so the portion that comes to me is not coming to me via Brera. The portion that's coming to you is not coming to you via Brera. If we go ahead and we take our resources and we pull them back together again, so what we're looking at over here is a new partnership, which again is going to be pater from Meiser Behema, it's going to be Chayv and the Kalbon. Okay, in other words, Rav Nachman does not subscribe to Brera. So, Rav Nachman does not subscribe to Brera, so now we have a problem. So once he doesn't subscribe to Brera, so our entire approach in Rav Nachman has just fallen apart. So now that it fell apart, so we need a new way to explain. So let's quickly reset. So we started off the entire discussion going all the way back to the bottom of the Amud Aleph of today's daf, where the Gemara wants to know if I fill up from the Ole Bavel, so, and I'm doing so not for me, but for somebody else. So whose tchum does it subscribe to? So Rav Nachman says it subscribes to the tchum of the person I filled it up for. Rav Sheshe says, no, it does not. It subscribes to the Mimale, and we want to, at this point in time, now say a pshat in the Machlokas. So the pshat we try to say in the Machlokas is that they're debating what the status of the Ole Bavel is, of the Borshal Ole Bavel. Does it have the status of a Borshal Shufim, or does it have the status of a Borshal Hefker? But basically what ends up happening is that entire pshat fell apart based on the Mishnah Nedarim, based on the fact that we know that Rav Nachman doesn't subscribe to Breira, or so the whole pshat fell apart. So the Gemara says we need a new pshat. Ela dekulei amar bir defkerahu. So really everyone's of the opinion that the Borshal Hefker, and Ella Hacha bin Magbiya Mitzil Chaver Kamiflagi. So over here the issue becomes the following. The machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes is going back to the halacha of Bamitzia. When you pick up a Mitzia for your friend, so your friend has not acquired it because you were tofes a chaver b'makom shechav la'acherim. So fine. So that is a given, meaning everyone agrees to the Gemara in Bamitzia. So now what's at issue over here is as follows. So Mar Safar, so this is now the Shita, this is going to be the Shita of Rav Sheshes. So despite the fact that your friend was not Kona, so nevertheless, Kona, you've acquired the item for yourself. And, so that would be the Shita of Rav Sheshes. And Mar Safar and Rav Nachman would say, Lo Kona. And Rav Nachman would say that you weren't even kona the item for yourself, meaning that your intention was to be kona for your friend. The kinyan didn't work for your friend, and since it didn't work for your friend, so therefore it doesn't work for you as well. Okay. Now, admittedly, Rashi over here, what I've just done is I have really streamlined the Rashi. Rashi over here entertains a number of girsos. Rashi over here entertains a number of pshatim. But what I just presented is the pshat that Rashi likes and prefers. And obviously, for the purpose of Daf Yomi, so we will I'll offer that as the pshat in the Gemara. Anyway, let's quickly recap. Let's go back over some of the basic points that we covered today. Today's daf in Beitza is Lamed Tes. We started on the bottom of Lamed Chesem and Beis, trying to understand why, when there is a mixture of flour and water and spices, flour owned by one party, water and spices owned by another party, and the water and spices are clearly not the majority, they're the minority, and so in terms of Tchum, so the Mishnah told us that it's going to follow the common Tchum, the common ground of every ingredient. And the question is, why don't we say bittul under those circumstances? So the Gemara had a lengthy back and forth on this issue, a back and forth that started all the way on Lamed Chesem and Aleph, going well into Lamed Chesem and Beis, and then taking us to today's daf, Lamed Tes. And so basically, after the Gemara basically said that, look, there's no bittul when it comes to mamonos, but by Isser there's bittul. So then why isn't there bittul over here? This is an issue of Isser, this is Tchum. So the Gemara gives three different answers. One, Gzera, because of how similar this case looks to Shutfus. Two, is that this is Tavlin. Tavlin is made for tam, it's for taste, and therefore it's not going to be subject to Bittul. And finally, three, the answer of Ravashi, this is a Davashesh Lomatirin, and we are going to be Machmer by Davashesh Lomatirin, afil be'elef lobatul, even by an Isser Durabun like Tchum. Okay. The Gemara then went on to describe Rabbi Yehuda, who's Poter b'mayim. So he exempts water, meaning water he feels to be totally insignificant. And a couple of brises that give this position Rav Yehuda, and not a perfectly consistent position Rav Yehuda, and the Gemara try to make chilukim between the Mishnah and the brises that we were presented. Then the Mishnah made basic distinctions between fire based on coal and versus a flame that is not solid based. In other words, just a gas based flame. And three differences in the Mishnah, five differences in the brisa, And a short discussion in terms of two different types of flame. A flame that is attached to an item versus a flame that's just simply being pushed by the wind. The former is significant, and therefore you'd be chayiv if you carried, and the latter is insignificant. And finally, our last discussion today is that when you draw water from a well, and it's a private well, so the tchum belongs to the owner of that well. If it is a partnership well, So then the tchum belongs to everyone in the city, and then if it's a public well, so then whoever fills it up, it's going to follow that person's tchum. And the way Rashi explained the Mishnah, that's going to be predicated on Breira. First, the Gemara made a distinction between stationary water versus water in motion. But water whose body's in motion is not going to be kona makom shvisa going into Shabbos or Yontif, as opposed to our Mishnah, which is talking about a stationary body of water. And then the big discussion that the Gemara had is that, let's say you go to a public well and you draw the water, but not for yourself, for somebody else. So what becomes under those circumstances? So it is a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. The way it was originally presented, so Rav Nachman says that it belongs, that water belongs to the Mishnas Malo, the designated recipient. Rav Sheshes says that it belongs to the person who drew the water. And the Gemara really struggled with the first way it was presented, really trying to give a svara in terms of the position of Rav Nachman, and quite frankly, failing in its first attempt. After a lengthy discussion, which covers pretty much the entirety of the Amud Beis of today's daf, so the Gemara then offers a final position or a final version of what the machlokas is. Even in that final version, it's slightly unclear exactly what's being said, but according to Rashi's preferred shot, the question basically becomes the following. The bor of Oli Regalim is in fact a Borshal Hefker. It's a public pit. And the question just simply becomes now, when you draw for yourself, obviously it's yours. But when you're drawing it for somebody else, predicated on the fact that you cannot be tofis lebachov b'makom shechav la'acherim, meaning the Gemara b'Mesia. So certainly you can acquire for somebody else, but when you try to acquire for somebody else, where that clearly doesn't work, can you at least then retain it for yourself? That's a machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. And the way Rashi understands it, according to Rav Sheshes, you can actually acquire for yourself, even though your original intent was to acquire for somebody else. And according to Rav Nachman, you cannot acquire even for yourself.